I always think that, but my intention is to be brief on the blessings
and the Lord
God's of motherhood.
It is not good that man should be alone. I will make
Mother's Day sermon is always one
out
that
of the
I struggle
ground
with
God had formed
the most out of all the sermons that I preach over a year
brought them to the
time. I don't know if it's because Mother's Day causes
the man gave
all the
wildlife
fancy words that means to remember
every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not.
You remember good things, but they
Lord God
to remember them because
it
hurts.
And while he slept,
and we look back upon
his roots, closed up its place
the memories of our mother,
the ribs the Lord God had taken from the man,
and it's good things that I remember.
Brought her to be,
but it pains because I miss
this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh.
It's that perhaps coupled with my natural melancholic
therefore,
temperament,
leave his
maybe,
and his mother, and
or because I just don't
shall become one flesh.
Seem to be able to put together the right words.
The man
to express all that motherhood means.
She was the mother of all living.
The brightest,
thank you for the rain,
pleasant
memories. Thank you, Lord, that you brought this family
of my precious mother, who
to sit
against great physical limitations,
that you would bless
brought up a family of rowdy boys and one
clearly,
spoiled
open our hearts,
girl to adulthood. The others just an impossibility to express the toils, the triumphs, the burdens, the blessings, things that a mother does and endures, weren't any beginning to describe that wonder to his will. I'm convinced that God has made woman superior to man in many ways. So I don't understand this contradictory struggle in the equality for women movement. Why do they want to lower themselves from that place of wonder? Seems that they battle against something that they already possess, which is their own special gift from God. The Bible tells us that a good wife is a gift from God. It says that her price is far above rubies, and that she's to be treasured. It also warns us against a bad woman. It tells us that a bad woman can be deceptive, and she can be destructive, and she can be damning. Proverbs 12:4 declares a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is a rottenness to his bones. There's nothing better than a good woman, nothing worse than a bad one. It's reported that the Greek philosopher Socrates was asked about marriage. It is said that he replied, quote, "By all means, marry. If you get a good wife, you'll be happy. If you get a bad one, you'll be unhappy." Fellas, you know a good woman.
For the day will be like a and
leave
the days
of your
and
that we live in a society that simple phrase can be so misconstrued, misunderstood, misapplied. that I do love little girls. We have had the privilege to raise four of them. And I tell my students, my freshman students every year, young ladies, you have an advantage already over the boys. I like to say this. Boys, you're the one, you represent the ones that I love. You have a disadvantage. But I've seen the little girl, there is the wonder of womanhood. Even when she's dragging her doll through the mud by one foot, there is a mother. God shapes little girl into a fine and delicate crystal by a woman. According to our text that we read, Adam first called his wife woman. Hebrew word is Isha. It's the feminine of Ish. Ish is man. Isha is woman. Even waking from his deep sleep immediately upon seeing this creature, Adam knew he was different. And yet he knew that she was made for him. See, up to that point, he had been naming all of the animals, and he realized that God had made male and female. But for Adam, the Bible says, there was not found and help meet or helper suitable or comparable helper, a counterfeit for him, until God created her from his rib. To this wonderful creature, Adam gave the name Eve, which means life giver, because she was the mother of all living, indicating that all living human beings. This history that we read is being written, as it were, after the fact. So he's saying that she became, if you will, the mother of all living. From this union would come, and has come, the grace of God, the state of all other creation, because it is only mankind that is known in the image of God. God saw that it was not good that man should be alone, so he created woman from Adam's rib, not from his head, that she might rule over him, but from under his arm, and from his side, and near his heart, that she might be loved and protected. By God's wisdom, he gave to man the very gift that was necessary. And then, so many memories conjured up by that counselor. She's the original 911 who came running to heal every scrape, every touch. Make sure you are presentable before you go out in public, using offering or food supply or cleanser. Clear away any smudge and nothing clean like a mother's mind on you to wear clean underwear just in case. Spiritual advice. She's the one to whom you went when you needed a listening ear rather than a condemning word. She's the one who wearied heaven's throne on your behalf.
Knowing that you are so to the Savior, that you are our help in every time of need.
Dr. Johnny Pope was one of my teachers in Bible school, and in his early years, his youth, late teens, early 20s, he was a rather rowdy young man, and he returned home late one night from his carousing, and he heard something in the living room, and he heard someone crying, and he sneaked into the living room, and there he saw his mother kneeling down over a pair of his shoes, weeping. And saying, "Oh God, you said, beautiful are the feet of those who publish the gospel of peace." She was praying for her son, her wayward son. 40 years ago, come this November, Johnny Pope preached my ordination sermon. He continues in the pastorate to this very day.
And so then we feel.
I recall my own mother when I told her that I felt called to preach. She was a very simple lady, very direct in some of the things that she would say. She just looked at me and said, "Well, it's about time." She'd been praying for that since I was born. She never told me. She didn't want me to be Mama called.
And I came to know Christ.
Lest I delay or belay the all that we have to do today, let me just ask you to consider with me several things about several characteristics about a mother. I will go through these rather quickly. I'll not ask you to turn to the different passages. I'll mention them so you can jot them down if you would like. First of all, there's a mother's dedication as seen in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 and verses 26 through 28. 1 Samuel chapter 1, this is Hannah, the mother of young Samuel. You find in that passage that here was a woman that prayed a specific prayer. She was barren. She prayed specifically for a child. And God gave her that child. In that prayer, she made a promise. She said, "If you will give me a man child, I will dedicate him to you." She made that prayer, she made that promise, she made that vow. Perhaps a few years later when that little boy was weaned, and I think in my mind she probably delayed that weaning process because she was hesitant maybe to make good her promise, because the Bible tells us that she reminded her of the vow that she had made. Mama, let me ask you, how soon is Christmas? Well, I hang on. For her son, her daughter, to just go away and leave her son. And I would suggest to you that is an unnatural affection. I think the natural affection would be that the Lord is too soon to let them go, because forever they remain. And her dedication, her faithfulness, her provision every year, she would make her mother hope. He will hold me back. He will not let my soul be gone. Divine loan. He promises it shall last. What by Him has done shall come. So there's a mother's dedication that we see. There's a mother's perfection in Exodus chapter 2. We read of Joshua, the mother of Moses. He hears the mother who decides to turn on his children rather than murder her baby and keep him home. He then prepared an ark for him and placed him strategically in the river near where she knew the king's daughter bathed. And she watched, had her daughter watch in wonder as God undertook her step. When she had done all that she could do, she met God who all that she could. There's no
peace.
Then there's the mother's prayer in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. The mother of Timothy here, she and his grandmother, the apostle Paul, took this young man. He had really been trained at his mother's feet. Paul then mentored him into the service of God. Paul would remind him early of that education and the words that he learned in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He also wrote to Timothy and he said, evil men who seduces your words and words, deceiving thee, but continue in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He said that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's never too early, Mama, to start teaching your child the things of God. And what Timothy became began as a child at the knee of faithful, godly women. I must hasten, but there's then the mother's love in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. This is the account of the two women, two prostitutes, who came before Solomon,
even
one choosing death,
terribly,
the other seeking life out of the child born in prostitution.
About it, but,
unplanned, I'm sure, but not unexpected.
Christian man went up to a member of the outside.
To be sure, these pregnancies interfered with these women's careers, but that was not an unwanted baby.
Last Sunday,
the one chose life,
same young man,
for her own child rather than death.
House.
There's a mother's love. There's a mother's ambition in Matthew chapter 20.
Salome,
the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, also called by Jesus the sons of thunder.
Christian man.
She came and worshiping him, the Bible says, besought that her sons might receive a place of prominence, one sitting at the right hand and one at the left hand of Christ in his kingdom.
So that only God can get.
But what mother does not desire greater
things
for her children? Good women seek the advancement of their men, be they their husbands or their sons. Someone has said that behind every successful man, there are two women. One, a loving and dedicated wife and mother. Well, three, and a surprised mother-in-law. She was ambitious. She dreamed big for her sons. Then there's a mother's triumph in Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. The Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was ill, and she came to the Lord and asked for healing, and he said, it's not fit to give the children's bread to dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the master's table get some scraps. And he said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. And her daughter was healed. What a triumph. She was triumphant in her prayer because she persisted in her prayer. There's perhaps no other creature more persistent than a woman. She goes about getting what she wants in different ways. We don't realize that sometimes until it's done, and then we're like, how did that happen? She got what she wanted, and it became my idea. How did that happen? They're persistent. Then there's a mother's burden. In Luke chapter 2, after the birth of Jesus, they took him to the temple. And there they met an old man by the name of Simeon who
held the Christ child in his arms, and he blessed God and praised God and said, I thank you that mine eyes have seen the salvation of Israel. And he looked at Mary and he said, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul. No one hurts for her child like a mother. So there's a mother's burden, a mother's triumph, a mother's ambition, a mother's love, and a mother's training, and a mother's protection, and a mother's dedication. Nobody knows the work it makes to keep the home together. Nobody knows of the steps it takes. Nobody knows but mother. Nobody listens to childish woes which kisses only smother. Nobody's pained by the naughty blows. Nobody, only mother. Nobody knows of the sleepless care bestowed on baby brother. Nobody knows of the tender prayer. Nobody knows but mother. Nobody knows of the lessons taught of loving one another. Nobody knows of the patience sought. Nobody, only mother. Nobody knows of the anxious fears lest darlings may not weather the storms of life in after years. Nobody knows but mother. Nobody knows of the tears that start, the grief she gladly smother. Nobody knows of the breaking heart. Nobody, only mother. Nobody clings to the wayward child, though scorned by every other, leads it so gently from pathways wild. Nobody can but mother. Nobody knows of the hourly prayer for him, our erring brother, pride of her heart, once so pure and fair. Nobody, only mother. Nobody kneels at the throne above to thank the heavenly Father for that sweetest gift, a mother's love. Nobody can, only mother. Our Father, who embodies the virtues of motherhood yourself in your love and your care toward us, we give thee thanks this morning for our mamas. Some gone on, some in your very presence this morning, rejoicing in who you are. Some perhaps receiving word from those who have recently left this plane and have entered heaven, news that brings rejoicing. I just have a feeling, Father, that that's how folks in heaven find out about what goes on here, is when somebody passes from here to there, they gather with friends and family and share what's been happening down here. And I think there's rejoicing in heaven. I think that's the way they get word of our lives here. We're thankful for the mother's influence. Now, Father, I'm not so naive that I don't think that there have been mothers who have not been so good. The least thing that they did was give us life. And that in itself is the greatest of gifts, because it puts us in place to receive eternal life from you. Motherhood is so important that you saw fit to make sure that when you brought the Christ child into this world, to give him a mother to care for him, watch over him. What a job that must have been. The Father, we reflect upon our mothers today. We appreciate them. We acknowledge them. We honor them. And we thank you for them. And we ask you, bless them today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Mamas, would you stand, please, and come up front? Just a simple token of appreciation. Back in the day, we were talking this morning in Sunday school about how things in cultures change. Back in the day, when I was just a pup, we would get a certain color of a flower for our mother. If her mother was still living, it was a white flower of some sort. If she was I'm sorry, if she had passed, it was a white flower, not a red flower, for those mothers who were still living. And we have a we have combination here of red and white and everything in between. And so, ladies, I trust that there's enough. It's always hard to know how many moms are going to be here. And so we order hopefully more than enough. And if you would, ladies, just take a flower of your choice here as a small token of appreciation from your church family for what you have done. So, Carrie, go ahead. You be first and pray.